Picnic time, right on, out in the back.
If this thing kicks out, David will give me another mic. So we're just going to roll with what we got. We're so glad that you're here today, that you've come out to worship with us. We'll talk a little bit more about those things here shortly, but it is so good to see each and every one of you. We're going to praise and worship together. You don't have to get up if you don't want to. You can sing along, but let's make it a great day. Let me start us off in a word of prayer, and David will take it from there. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have provided for us on so many levels. Lord, just for the opportunity to even be out here today is such a blessing, to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy that is. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time. Father, may each and everything that we say and do honor and glorify you as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
taken this opportunity to make sure that we still have our virtual crowd with us. That's why you see Wes down here taking care of things. Once again, we thank you for taking the opportunity to come out. I know a lot of you are like so many folks. It's been a long time since you've had that that human interaction that that we so desperately desire, that we want, and we're just a loving, hugging, handshaking kind of people. But I want to caution you, as you come out today, please don't do that. Now, I never thought there would ever be a day when I would say something like that. We're usually telling folks, hey man, grab somebody's hand, give them a handshake, give them a hug. Please don't do that today. We're all at different places. We're all at different risk levels. We are just so glad you're here. We're so glad that we can see your face, but we never know where somebody else may be in their journey of health. There may be folks that are a little more higher risk, and we want to make sure that we honor them and love them. And that's the reason why we're continuing to put our videos out. It's why you see what we've got going on up here in front of us. For those who don't feel comfortable getting out yet, the message will be posted as soon as we get done, so that we can keep that online presence. If you've got your Bible today, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. You know, as we sit here and as I began to think in preparation for this service, how we're sitting here on the grounds, but we're not there yet. We can look over our shoulders to our left or to our right. For me, it's at a 45 degree angle to my right, and there is the church building, the place where many memories have been made, the place where God has spoken to our hearts. Not that he can't speak to us outside of the church, but yet this is a place that holds very, very special memories to us, and yet we can't go in yet. Yet we're setting out here, and it reminded me so much of Israel. It reminded me of the time when they got to Kadesh Barnea, and the promised land was there, but yet they just couldn't go in yet. But folks, I want to ask you this question. I've been posing this question to each and every person since we've started this time of not being able to meet. What is it that God is wanting to teach you in the midst of this time? I know that for me, one of the big things that that God has been working on with me on is patience. I've always told people, I don't ever want to pray for patience, because the way you get good at something is you practice. You start asking God for patience, he'll say, I'll give you patience. I'll give you a lot of things that you have to be patient for. So I've never prayed for patience. I've prayed for wisdom. But I have been that guy that for the last 10 weeks, if I order the taco bar, I get home with it and I don't have the meat or the chicken. If I go to Bojangles, my side is the Cajun Pintos, which is the main thing I want, and I don't have those. Everything, I don't know if you're that way, but all that has been that way with me. And God has taught me a lot about patience. We've had to slow down. We've had to not be at the warp factor speed that we normally run. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about those that were part of Israel. I was thinking about the circumstances and the situations. Today, as I greet you as your pastor, this is the first time in my history of being here that we've met in this fashion. It's not my first time of preaching in an outdoor space. See, this reminds me a lot of what people are going through around the world right now. Every Sunday, this is the norm for a lot of Christians that are around this world. They don't have the nice place to go sit where there's air conditioning. They don't have the padded pews. They don't have any of that. Folks, the church is not about the building. The church is about the believers. It is about the body. And some of the sweetest fellowship that we've ever had has taken place in a setting much like this. I think about the fact that we have been blessed and we have been fortunate. We have technology and we have continued to be able to bring forth the word of God. I haven't missed a Sunday preaching, although it's been a different format, although it's been something different. But yet I think about my brothers in Cuba who don't have this kind of technology, who have not had a chance to fellowship or an opportunity to be together, and yet their faith remains so strong. I thought about the scriptures that we read in Numbers chapter 11. I want to encourage you to read that today. For the sake of time, I'm just going to cover a few of the passages. As we think about the fact that we live in the most indulged society in the world. And yet it is this group, this society, that seems to complain the most. You know, I begin to think about my complaining over these past 10 weeks. I have complained. How many of y'all out there know how to complain? All right, the rest of y'all need to repent. We're real good. We know how to make a complaint. Now, I want us to kind of think about what was taking place with the people of Israel in Numbers chapter 11. And I'm going to go ahead and just read with you beginning at verse 4. We're going to take Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. And it says this. It says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask that your Holy Spirit would truly move in our midst. Lord, I pray that we will give pause to hear what it is that you have to say, that what you're teaching us will be reinforced as we've taken this time to gather around in your glory and in your nature. So Lord, I pray you'll bless this time. Bless me as your speaker that is bringing the word this morning, that you and you alone would truly be exalted, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, what we come across in this particular scripture is that people are moaning and grumbling, and they're doing so without any reason. You see, they had every reason at that particular point to be celebrating rather than complaining. Now, a lot of us haven't even thought about this morning as we have gathered together. Do you realize this is our homecoming week? This is the week that Central Baptist Church would be normally celebrating our homecoming. We would have a special speaker, which was already lined up. After the service, we would gather around and we would have a fellowship, and we would share in a meal. And today it's different. It's not like that. It's awkward to us, and it feels a little bit different, and it would be simple to complain. Now, I've said before, I've done some complaining throughout the midst of COVID-10, but my heart was convicted as I read these scriptures. Here are the children of Israel who had every reason in the world to be celebrating, and so do you and I. There's a lot for you and I to celebrate. You see, for Israel, God had set this people free from slavery. You know, when the Egyptian army came after them, God drowned them in the sea. Never again would these people labor under the crack of the whip of the Egyptians. You know, when they were hungry, when their stomachs were growling, God gave them manna from heaven. I think about that particular scripture, how it talks about when they were out there and how they got mad at Moses, and how they were hungry, and then God allowed the manna to appear, and he gave him some directions, and he gave him some instructions on how it should be treated. And those people thought that manna was the best stuff that they had ever eaten. Now, I want you to remember that, and I want you to hold on to it for just a moment. They thought that was the best stuff that they had ever eaten. The Lord has delivered us. The Lord has given us provision. The Lord has fed us. And not only has he fed us, he's given us something that's unique. He has given us something that is good. Along the way, when their throats were parched amidst the heat of the day, you know, God cracked a rock open and let them drink. Now, folks, we're talking about several million people. Several million people. God has taken care of them. God's people were on the cusp of entering a land. Yeah, and when their enemy, as they got ready to enter this land, their enemies had even been driven away by hornets. If you're taking notes, just jot down Exodus chapter 23, verse 28. God drove the enemies away from them. See, in other words, what would happen would be God had said, "Here's a place that I have for you. And not only that, I am going to make a way." In other words, Israel was going to live in a city that it didn't build. They were going to live in homes that they didn't have to furnish. They were going to drink waters from wells that they didn't have to dig. They were going to eat a fruit from the orchards of plants that they hadn't planted. Instead of grumbling, they should have been dancing and celebrating, is what they should have been doing. And yet, this whole chapter, chapter 11, is one where we see them complaining. Now keep this in mind. They had only been on their journey for 3 days. 3 days! Folks, listen, if you all hadn't killed each other yet, you've been at this for like 10 weeks now. It's good to see you. I'm hoping that all the bodies are going to show back up somewhere and that they're going to be upright and taking nourishment. I know that it's been a strain, and I know that it's been tough. They were 3 days into their journey. Just three. It had been 3 days since they had left Mount Sinai, and these people are not happy. You know, they were complaining. They were moaning. They were groaning. You know, but there's an obvious lesson that kind of jumps out at us in these verses. And I want to pose this question to each and every one of us today. I want you to ask yourself and be sure to answer yourself honestly. Am I a complainer or am I one who gives thanks? You know, it'd be real easy out here to complain today because it's kind of hot. You know? Yep, I've got a tie on. You know why? Because my mama's going to be watching this a little bit later on video. So I've got my tie on. I look like the preacher boy that she raised. It's hot out here. I know a lot of us are in shape. This is not the most comfortable thing in the world. If the air conditioning isn't on, the pews aren't padded. If they're not, you didn't bring the right chair with you today. But yet there's every way that we could complain. But let me ask you, are you being thankful for what God has done? Yeah, let me kind of put it in some perspective. Let me tell you what I've learned to be thankful for. I am thankful for the taxes I pay. You know why? Because that means I'm employed. I'm thankful that my clothes fit a little bit more snug, like y'all's. You know why? Because that means I have plenty to eat. Yeah? I'm thankful that my shadow up here in the sun is watching me preach today. You know why? Because that means I'm outside. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, you know, for windows that need cleaning, for gutters that need to be repaired, because it means I have a home to live in. I'm thankful for the spot that I find at the end of the parking lot, because that means I have legs and I can walk. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill, because that means that I'm warm in the wintertime. I'm thankful, you know, when I think about the fact that people are complaining about the government. I'm thankful for that. You know why I'm thankful that I get to hear people complain about the government? Because that means I have the free right and free speech to do so. That was bought with a price. And God truly is good. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry that needs to be washed. Because what that means is that my loved ones are near me. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the morning. Because that means that I'm still alive. I'm thankful that I have some tired and aching muscles at the end of the day, because that means that I have been productive and God has given me the mobility to do so. When we look at the situation with Moses, there were several things that we see, and I'll just give you a quick rundown of it. But in that chapter, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, Moses faced a people problem. That was what was going on. It says that the people complained about their hardships and they did so in the hearing of the Lord. God hears everything. So when you're complaining, God hears it. It specifically points out that when they complained, God was hearing what they were saying. It says, then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And then the people cried out to Moses, because Moses was the way they could get to God. They cried out to Moses, and he prayed, and the Lord allowed the fires to die down. And it says, so that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. So Moses had a problem there, but he also had another problem. He faced a provision problem in verses 4 through 9. See, the people with them began to crave food, and they began to let it overtake them. Yeah, and what was happening, all of a sudden they began to say, oh, if only we could eat meat. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I'm a meatitarian. Where are my meatitarians out there? Whew. I'll tell you one thing. You give me a steak, and I'm ready to roll. And some people are not. But here are folks that had been used to meat. That's what it was like in the past. And now they're not having that. But guess what they did have? What did I say a minute ago? God provided them manna. He provided something for them. Now, that becomes extremely important, and it should become important in your life and mine as well. It says in verse 5, and I'm gonna highlight verse 5. It says, we remembered the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Are you hungry yet? I'm almost done. Get lunch. They said, I remember these. But now, we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this old manna. Ugh. Now, these people, when they first tasted the manna, remember I said a minute ago, they thought it was great. See, we are told from the scriptures in Exodus chapter 16, verse 31, that it was like a wafer made of honey. But now, the ultimate regularity of this kind of makes them sick at their stomachs. Now, admittedly, there wasn't much variation in their diet. Yeah, they didn't have a whole lot of variety. I mean, worry about variety, people. You like something different. I mean, I do. I'm not that person that can eat the same thing every day. That's why I have a little bit of trouble with leftovers. I might be able to do it once, but I can't do it the whole week. You know, same old thing. You got to think about the time that they were having this manna. So you can imagine what it was like. It was manna waffles, manna burgers, manna bagels, filet of manna bread, manna under glass. I mean, it was all manna. And we can see where they would get a little bit tired of it. But here's the thing we need to understand. They did not go hungry, did they? They didn't go hungry. There's an old quote that says, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Folks, we don't have to look very far to find somebody that's a whole lot worse off than we are. And we need to be praising instead of complaining. See, now that might, they might not have had much variation in their diet, but they had something to eat. God had provided for them their daily needs. But what they wanted God to provide was their daily wants, their daily greeds. And sometimes we get that out of kilter. Sometimes we kind of skew the lines between what our wants and what our needs are. And then in verses 4-6 of this passage, they whine. The people within themselves began to crave the food. And again, the Israelites started whining and they said, if only we had meat to eat. Remember the fish in Egypt at no cost. Now, I want to go back to verse 5 because I want you to see something here of what they had forgotten. In verse 5, it says the fish that they ate at no cost. Hold on for just a minute. Had they forgotten that there was a great cost to them being back in Egypt and a great cost to eating the fish? Egypt had cost them the lives of their baby boys as Pharaoh had them thrown into the Nile. Remember that? Egypt had cost them the lives of their husbands and their brothers who collapsed under the taskmasters and the whips of the Egyptians. Would they really rather prefer slavery and oppression just so they could get some fancy food rather than the freedom and independence of being a people who were liberated by God? Think about that for a moment. And then third, Moses faced a personal problem. Down there in verse 10, Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of the tents. And the Lord became exceedingly angry and Moses was troubled. See, Moses was a gifted leader, but yet like all leaders, Moses struggled when it came to handling criticism. Verse 10 tells us that every family was critical and condemning of Moses. Every family. Don't miss that. This is not just a few disgruntled people. This is saying all of them. This is a majority of the people. And Moses felt weighted down by that load that he was bearing, the load that he was carrying. Moses was grieved when the people criticized not only him, but also God. See, it's hard and demoralizing when you have tried your best and when you have given it your all only to be criticized by people. Only for some to come along and find fault with what is taking place and with what is going on. See, what it does is it crushes your spirit in the same way that it did that to Moses. Yeah, and if you've ever been around, if you've ever served on a committee, if you've ever been in the church, I can guarantee there have been times when there's been a good idea or when there's been a change that has needed to be implemented, and people say something like this: we've never done it that way before. Oh, we're doing fine without it. We can't afford it. We're not really for it. It's not our responsibility. You've heard those things. If you're in any sort of leadership in your workplace or in the church, criticism is part of that package. I can tell you that. Nobody likes to be criticized. And for anyone in leadership, you can come to expect that as part of what you do. Yet in this chapter, Moses struggled with what he was experiencing. Every family had an opinion, and those opinions meant blaming and finding fault with Moses. See, Moses allowed himself to become utterly discouraged. He allowed himself to become discontent. You know, the word translated in English as displeased, and it means to be broken into pieces or utterly destroyed. Moses had a breakdown. His confidence was shaken, and his assurance was slow. His assurance came to a crawl. What is the problem here? Moses had allowed the problems that he faced to become larger than the God that he served. How many times have we seen that? How many times have we heard that? How many times when we get people together will we have a difference in opinion? It's interesting because you know what? There's no playbook for the recovery of COVID-19. We're making it up as we go. We've got a leadership team. We're trying the very, very best that we can. And we have different and varied opinions. And here's the thing. We need to honor the opinions of others. There are those here today who don't feel safe in getting out. And that's okay. By the way, guys, we love you. That's why I'm talking to the camera right now. For those who are not here, you're still part of us. We love you and we respect your opinions. We ask that everybody respect each other's opinions. And there's not going to be a perfect way to go through or recover from this or any other way. We just have to do it together. But Moses had allowed the problems, and he had allowed the complaints of the people to become larger than the God that he served. Folks, when we do that, we mess up completely and we mess up totally. I often think about Peter, and I think about the other disciples when they were in the boat. And if you remember that Jesus allowed them to go knowing that there was a storm that was going to take place. And the disciples in the boat being tossed to and fro thinking that they were going to die. Jesus comes walking by on the water. And Peter says, "Lord, if that's you, let me come out there and see you. Let me come and greet you." Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter jumps out of the boat, and as he starts across the water, everything is going good until he gets to the point where he's within an arm's reach of Jesus. And it says that Peter's focus changed. It changed from the perspective of who Jesus was and his power to the wind and the waves. And when that perspective changed in Peter's life, it says Peter began to sink. Folks, if you are sinking today, you need to get your eyes on Jesus. We should be the happiest people in the world. I know this is different, but you know what? I am grateful today that I get to preach. I am grateful today that I get to put eyes on each and every one of you because I haven't seen you in 2 months. You're looking good, even though we're a ways off. I can wave at you. I can see you. I can blow kisses to you. It is so good to see you. Let me tell you, it's more fun preaching to you than just a camera. Although I know there's people on the other end of that camera. Moses had gotten discouraged. See, we're in danger of a breakdown when we allow the circumstances of our lives to become bigger than the God that we serve. But problems facing in God's strength become more like molehills rather than mountains. See, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to face the problems, and we must remember that he, not us, is the one who fights the battles in our lives. We've already won. We just need to be obedient to him. He fights. We just get to enjoy the victory that comes along with it. You see, Moses cried out to God, and God provided the help that was needed. In fact, I want to go to this, and this is how I want to wrap it up because of what God said. You know, they were crying and moaning and saying, well, we want me. You know, we had all this stuff and had forgotten the cost of what it was to them. And then I want you to see how God answered them. Go down and look at verse 18. Numbers chapter 11, verse 18. Verses 18 through 20, it says, then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. Now, pay attention, verse 19. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days. Well, that sounds good at that point. Verse 20 says, but for a whole month, until it comes out your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? You know what the Lord said there? I'm going to give you so much meat, I'm going to cram it down your throat. I'm going to give you so much meat, you're going to be so sick and tired of eating this meat when it's over with. You want it? You got it. This is what's going to happen. Notice what it says. I love it, verse 20. It says, but for a whole month until it comes out your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. God says, you want it? We'll give it to you. And we know the story of what took place about how the quail. And I looked through here at some history, and it talked about how the quail flew in 6 feet off the ground. And it says that each one took a minimum, I think it was of 10, and it was a biblical measurement. But when you looked it up, that was each person, the lowest number that was counted was 60 bushels of quail. That was the lowest number. Some gathered more. 60 bushels of quail. The Lord said, you want it? Yeah, you got it. You better be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it. You know, folks, I've been saying all along that God has a plan in the midst of our circumstances. I've been saying that he has a plan for your life individually, and he has a plan for our life corporately. Are we going to complain, or are we going to find out what it is that God has in store for us? You know, are we going to be more thankful when we have an opportunity to kind of meet like we used to? I honestly pray that as we do meet together, that we will never be the same than we were before. I pray that we will be changed individuals. I pray that we will be closer to the Lord. I pray that we will have new marching orders, that as we come back together, that God has created a new marching order for our church, for our people, corporately, as we go forward. And it's not hard, folks. It's real easy. And let me tell you where it starts. It starts with loving our Lord, the Lord our God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And guess what the second commandment was? And love your neighbor as yourself. We got to quit being hateful. Is it just me, or have y'all noticed that our society has become hateful? Wave at me if you see, short temper. We snap, people snap at a moment's notice. We've just gotten, hey, we've become like the world. And this is the place where people need to know that they can be loved. Not in their sin. Listen, folks, we don't love sin. God doesn't love sin, but he sure loves the sinner, and we need to be his representatives. We need to love each other, and we need to love people, and we need to be grateful. Folks, let me tell you what I'm grateful for today. I'm grateful that God's allowed me to preach, even though it's hot. Yep, I'm wearing a tie today because I'm thankful to be able to be his servant today. As I have in the past, it didn't mean that preaching by video was something less than preaching for him. No, see, I haven't missed a beach yet, but I'm so glad to see you. Folks, are we complainers? Or are we going to be the people who are going to say, Lord, I'm going to be the thankful person. I'm going to be thankful. Listen, when we do get a chance to meet back together, when we do get a chance to hug again, will we hug differently? Will we shake hands differently? Will our attitudes be different towards one another? Will we let the pettiness go? I've often thought, somebody said, asked me a question one time, and they said, well, do you feel like God is making this happen? I said, no, I don't think God's making it happen, but I do believe that God is allowing it to take place for my good, for your good, and for the good of His church. I believe that with all my heart. I think God's gotten tired of business as usual in our lives and in the lives of our church. I think He said, it's time for a time out. Y'all know what time out is, don't you? Put your little kids in time out, make them think about it a little bit. Folks, we've been in time out. We learned our lesson. And when we come back together, that they will know we are Christians by our love. That they will know that we are Christians by our message. That we will rally together. That our marching orders and our causes are to reach people with the gospel of Christ, train them to serve Him, and disciple, disciple, disciple. Or is it going to be about what color is this and what color is that and what item is that and who's using this and what's taking place? Folks, God don't care about that. I think sometimes He's had to take us away from what's distracted us. I've often said this, that when we go on a mission trip, one of the greatest things that I've always loved about when we go on that mission trip to Cuba is, particularly in the early going, you didn't have to worry about the telephone. You didn't have to worry about the computers and the tablets and the iPads. You didn't have to worry about any of that. You didn't have to worry about sitting around watching television. That wasn't taking place. And let me tell you, some of the greatest times in the world that we spent were getting to know each other as team members and loving each other. And He came back home with us. Wow. What if we did that as the whole body of the Lord? Are you a complainer or are you thankful? Like me, I've had to say, Lord, I'm not a patient person. I thought I was. I'm not asking you for patience. I'm asking you to ease up on me a little bit. But help me not to have a quick trigger. Help me, Lord, to be what it is that you want me to be and to realize just like many in the Bible have realized, that God's got this completely under control. 100%. Let's just enjoy the ride, won't we? Let's enjoy the sunshine today. Let's enjoy sitting around today. Listen, it doesn't have to be. I think about how this is happening all over the world today. And yet sometimes we sit back and say, well, I don't have my building. I don't have my pew. I don't have my church. Some of y'all are all out of kilter. You're not in the right place. Some of you are even sitting in the right place, you know. Got you right there to the left. Yeah. You got the right angle. May not be the pew, but it's the right angle. That's okay. As long as it doesn't hinder us from being what God wants us to be. I want to ask you something this morning. Have you given your life to Jesus? See, most of the time, we think for ourselves when we haven't trusted the Lord. When He's not the Lord of our life, we're very selfish. You know, we even struggle with that after we know Him, the selfish side of things. But have you trusted Christ? Have you given Him your life? You know, for the sake of those who are tuning in all up and down the East Coast, listen, have you trusted Jesus? Have you asked Him, Lord, forgive me? I realize I'm a sinner today. Come into my life and save my soul. If you haven't and the Lord's put that in your heart, then I want to encourage you to do that. You can simply bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Lord Jesus, I realize today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Come into my life. Save my soul. Forgive my sins. Lord, help me to live a life that's going to be pleasing to you. You know, maybe you're here today and the Lord's really just kind of yanked a knot in you. Maybe you're like me. Maybe your patience hasn't been what it ought to be. Maybe you haven't had your eyes on the Lord. Maybe you've been trying to do everything yourself. And the Lord gave us a situation here. He said, there's no playbook. You're going to have to trust me. Are we going to sit back and say, oh, the fish and the garlic and the leeks and the onions and all that's all at no cost to us? Listen, there's a cost to it. God's saying, I'm not going to be satisfied with you being where you were. It's time to go where you need to be. Are you willing and ready to take that journey? When we come out of time out, are we going to be taking those steps necessary? Maybe there's some repentance that needs to take place in our hearts, in our lives, that we might be all that the Lord wants us to be, that when we do come back together, this is the first time, I think this is the 10th week, that this is week number 10, that we haven't been together. Actually, 9 weeks. We haven't. This is week number 10. I hope and pray that you've done some thinking. I hope and pray that God has roped you in and that you're not wanting to go back to Egypt. I hope that you're not thinking about the fish and the onions and the leeks from back in Egypt, but yet we're looking to the manna and being thankful to the manna that God has given us as we move forward, because I know God's got some great plans for us individually as well as us corporately. What is it that God has put on your heart? I'm going to ask David Wilson if he would to come and lead us in a time of meditation before we go. I'm just going to ask that whatever it is that the Lord's putting on your heart, that as you sit out here amidst the grass and the trees and the nature, that you will truly be everything that God wants you to be. In an attitude of prayer, as David prays this, if you need to talk to me, I want to encourage you. Just let me know that before everybody gets away from here. If you've trusted the Lord, even if you're watching by way of video, please contact us so that we can have an opportunity to help get you some information, to help disciple you by way of follow-up. And you know what? Today, a really great day, because this truly is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because God is good. And all the time, God is good. As we pray, you do business with God. Hear you. God is good.
All the time.
God really is good. Listen, before we close in prayer, I just want to let you know, again, I want to ask you to keep our leadership team in your prayers as we continue to meet and try to navigate the COVID-19. We are going to take up the offering. We're not going to pass the plates. If you're watching by way of video, I want to remind you that you can jump over to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You can click the giving tab. You can give electronically. You can stop by our office during office hours, which are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. if you just want to drop that off. Or if you're here today, then we will have a couple of fellas posted at each of the exits at 68. And then David Gant will be up here. If you've parked up in the parking lot there, you can just drop that in as you go. Just look for the receptacles. Tracy, David's got one. Hold that up. That's what we've got right there. They won't have to touch you or anything. You can just drop that in as you go by. I want to thank you again for maintaining your giving as a way of worship, because that's what it truly is. God wants to bless us. It's not just so we can pay bills, although that's part of it. But God wants to bless each and every one of us through our giving, through our tithes, and through our offerings. In just a moment, I'm going to have a prayer as the fellas get into place. I do want to remind you that a lot of you all have seen that there was a federal court hearing this past Friday that was dealing with the churches being discriminated against in regard to kind of getting back into the swing of things. We don't know what those rules are yet. A lot of these things, we just have to kind of take one day at a time and one step at a time. I'm thankful for our leadership team who has been given good input, and we've worked as a team to try to come up with the thoughts and the ideas that we've had. So keep us in your prayers. We will actually be meeting tonight at 8 o'clock virtually. I want to remind folks that we'll also be continuing to put up our Wednesday evening Bible study by way of video. But we don't know what next week's going to look like just yet. We're going to talk about that. We want you to stay tuned to our communication portals, which are our two Facebook sites, as well as our website. We're going to try to let you know what we come up with. Technically, I believe we could actually meet inside next week, although that may not be the best idea. I mentioned before that we have varied opinions and we're at different places and positions in regard to our health. The only thing that I ask is that we do this, that we honor everybody's opinion. Their opinion may be different than yours, and that's okay. I want folks to know that are watching, I said this before, I'm glad that you're tuned in. If you don't feel comfortable being here just yet, thank you for tuning in. We love you. You're still part of our family. And we look forward to the time when we will gather. It's no pressure. Thank you for those who feel like it's okay for your position and your health to be able to be out. It's no reflection on anybody one way or the other. Let's honor each other and let's just look forward to the day, the time when we will all have the opportunity to feel comfortable and be back together. So with that, let me give a word of prayer, and then I'll give you an exit instruction, and we'll keep you posted on what next week will look like. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for all provision. Lord, you have kept us healthy. Lord, I don't know of anybody who has had this virus that is part of our church family. So you've kept us safe and healthy. We ask that you would continue to do that. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to see some faces that I know and I love today and to be able to do what you called me to do in preaching your word. Lord, I pray that you will bless our church, bless Central Baptist Church, the people. Lord, help us to find out what is best for us as we go forward, as we love you, as we love one another, to see the new marching orders and to come back a different person than when we left amidst this pandemic. Bless our hearts and bless our families. Lord, I ask that you would bless this offering that's about to be taken. May you bless and strengthen the gift and the giver. For we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you go, I just want to give